Catch the NBA playoffs on Sling TV, the most flexible live TV streaming service, putting consumers in control to watch games their way with flexible subscriptions. Want to catch one game or a full series on ESPN? Grab a 1, 3, or 7-day pass. If you want to catch as many games as possible, get a monthly subscription with our ABC, NBC, and ESPN combo package. Either way, Sling lets you watch the playoffs your way with no long-term contracts. Learn more at sling.com.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves. You're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit ncl.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry, the Bahamas and USA.
Welcome back to another episode of High Value Dating, everyone. So a voice note came in today, and I'm going to play it for you, talking about how to not get your hopes up too much when your dating life just doesn't go the way you plan, and what to do. So we're going to unpack all that and more. If this topic resonates with you, this is the episode for you. I can't wait. Stay with me and let's go ahead and get into it. Hey there, it's your girl, Nellie, matchmaker and dating coach. We talk about all things high value dating, how to meet your person, how to find love in today's dumpster fire dating economy, and also how to become a high value single, because as I always say, we don't attract what we want in life, we attract what we are. So if that sounds interesting to you, please make sure you follow and subscribe to this podcast, and I can't wait to take you along this journey. Welcome to the High Value Dating Podcast. Welcome back to High Value Dating, guys. So today I was scrolling through my Instagram and I received a voice note from one of you. And I wanted to play that because it's actually something I've been thinking about a lot. I know a lot of my coaching clients in particular deal with this, where you go on dates and maybe you start to really like someone and then maybe you don't get asked out again and you're left confused. You're left wondering what happened. And it's easy to want to curl up in a ball and not put yourself back out there when you've already gone through that process and maybe been burnt. So let's take a listen and then we will unpack ways to kind of cope with this and also emotionally ensure that if you do find yourself in this situation, you don't feel like you are crashing down from a million feet high. So here we go.
Hey, Nellie, I wanted to get your thoughts as I'm just starting to get back into dating after having a bit of a hiatus. And now I'm finding myself ready to put myself back out there. But how do I manage not getting my hopes up too much, whether that's meeting someone new for the first time or anticipating a second date? Because I do feel like sometimes it's easy to get my hopes up and then potentially be let down when someone doesn't meet my expectations. Thanks so much.
I feel you. So essentially what she's wondering, if you want just a recap, is she's putting herself back out there. She's getting back into dating after taking a little bit of a break. And she's finding that she, you know, sometimes falls in the camp of getting her hopes up. And then if, you know, a date doesn't maybe pan into a second date or a second date doesn't pan into a third date, feeling disappointed. And how do you emotionally regulate yourself so that you can continue putting yourself out there? Because as I've said multiple times on this podcast, we miss 100% of the shots we don't take. And to an extent, dating is a numbers game, right? The more people you meet who you have some degree of attraction and compatibility to, the more likely you are to meet that one person who you also have chemistry with. But again, if you're putting yourself out there and you're meeting people who are quality individuals and maybe along the way, they don't want to meet you again, right? And maybe they're not interested in pursuing things with you. It can feel sometimes very challenging to want to put yourself out there again because it does sting, you know, and we're all human and we have feelings and some of us might feel more than others, but it's not fun. And when you start liking someone, especially after you've been on a hiatus and maybe it's difficult for you to be attracted to people, maybe it's difficult for you to find someone that you really click with. And then when you do really click with them and they don't want to be with you back, it's like, oh, this is why I don't date, right? This is why I went on a hiatus in the first place. And so you fall into that feedback loop. So how do you deal with that? Well, first of all, I think it's about understanding that people have free will. There are a multitude of reasons why someone might not want to see you again. And it might not actually have anything to do with you. It might be that they met you and they were like, wow, this girl or this guy deserves someone who can go all in on them. And maybe they know and they have enough self-awareness to recognize that they can't go all in on you. And so out of respect to you, they withdraw. And it's easy, I think, to feel like you're never going to meet someone like that again. And it's already so difficult and so rare for you to find those connections that when they do come along and they don't pan out, it's like, why even go through this? Because the feeling of it not working out is a lot sometimes harder than being alone, right? Because then you're comfortable in your solitude and you're not letting enough people in so that they could have emotional kind of control over you that way. So that's the first thing I would do is just try to keep a open mind and maintain that broad perspective that things don't always work out with people because sometimes it's just not the right fit for them. It doesn't necessarily have anything to do with you. And another thing too is like, I talked about this in the last episode with love bombing. Try not to put rose-colored glasses on in the early stages. When you're on a first date or even a second or third date, when you're really just in that early stage of getting to know someone, it is human nature for them, just like it's human nature for you, to want to put your best foot forward. You are only seeing the part of them that you want to see and the part of them that they're choosing along those lines to show you, right? People are not going to drop the mask on a first date. That's when everyone is really polishing the silverware and making sure that, you know, they are showing up as the best versions of them. And first impressions are really important, but also you really, and I mean this so much, you don't know someone until you know them. I was just thinking about this the other day because when I moved to Los Angeles, I met so many people and everyone was a new face. And, you know, when you first meet people, especially in a city as dazzling as LA, everyone's beautiful. Everyone is very Hollywood-like, at least the people that I was exposed to. And I remember one couple in particular who I met, and I met them the first time. I thought, wow, this is like a Hollywood couple. This is like, they're not famous. Well, actually they kind of are, but like, they're not like, you know, A-listers and anything like that, but they just moved with this aura and this presence where you looked at them, you met them, you were like, they have it all going on. Well, 10 months later, I still know these people. There is a lot of messiness and drama there that you wouldn't necessarily see off the bat. And so it's really easy to make quick judgment calls about people, especially in the early stages of getting to know them, that position them in a positive light. And then when it doesn't work out, because all you know is the positive version of them, it's easy to feel like you're never going to meet someone as good as them and then to feel disappointed when in reality, that may have been a small sliver of who that person really is. And I have lived long enough, and I know you probably have as well if you're listening to this, where there are plenty of people, and sometimes we forget, who present themselves one way to the world and behind closed doors are a totally different way. So again, just maintaining that perspective going into any interaction, obviously take people at face value. I don't believe in having like a cynical outlook on life. I personally don't choose to lean into a cynical outlook, but just recognizing that like, people only show you the version of them that they want to show you, and people are multifaceted. And usually, if something doesn't work out with someone, it is because you are being guided to someone who's better for you. There is a reason that person is no longer in your life. And I think too, when you go through those first date experiences and you do hit it off with someone and it doesn't pan out into something else, and that's disappointing to you, maintain that outlook of, obviously, I'm on the right track here because I am exposed and meeting a certain caliber of person that I'm actually interested in. And even if it doesn't work out with that person, clearly that is a data point that I am on the right track. I am starting to engage with better quality people than maybe I was before. So looking at it from that lens of, I'm actually on the right track here. Yeah, not every first date is going to pan into a second date. That's why it's called dating, right? And sometimes we get lucky. Sometimes, you know, you meet someone and it's boom, boom, boom. And the first person you go out with after being on a hiatus or after being, you know, single for a short period of time is the person you couple up with. Absolutely, those stories happen. But also, you only need one person. And if this person isn't your person, then it's because there is someone better for you around the corner. And we don't know when you're going to meet them. We don't have a crystal ball. But again, just taking these first date experiences, even if they don't pan to second dates, as data points that, okay, I am on the right track. And it's exciting to develop feelings for people. And clearly that just shows that I am becoming a little more emotionally open. I think that's the better and more self-serving perspective to take on through this. After the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about how to cope with getting your hopes up when you go on a date with someone and you get really excited about them and it doesn't work out, and essentially dealing with rejection, which I know a lot of us deal with. I've dealt with it so many times in my life, and sometimes we forget and then it hits us again and it feels fresh. So we're going to talk all that and more after the break. Stay with me, guys. Thanks for staying with me through the break, guys. So as I was saying before the break, it's easy to feel rejected in those types of situations where you're putting yourself out there and things do not work out. They don't pan into a second date or they don't pan out the way you plan. And here's the thing. I strongly suggest, and I'm guilty of this too, so partly I'm talking to myself right now, but I strongly suggest trying not to romanticize situations or think about how they're going to happen, because I actually think, based on my experience, the more you think something's going to happen a certain way, the less likely it is to happen that way. And the universe has an interesting way of bringing situations around. It has an interesting way of changing the path, but actually getting you to the destination you want. And I personally think that one of the ways you can ensure you don't get your hopes up is having an abundant mindset. One of the reasons you're disappointed, if you are someone who is, you know, currently going through something like this, is because you probably don't have as many options that you personally believe are as good as this person who rejected you or walked away or didn't pursue you, however you want to frame it. And because you don't have a plethora of options at that level, you think that that is the best you can do. And because it hasn't worked out, it makes you feel salty and sour because you're looking at the other options and you're not excited about them. So how can you switch out of a state of lack to a state of abundance? Ironically, and a lot of you aren't going to like to hear this, you got to meet more people. You got to get back out there and you have to increase your exposure to more individuals. Again, it is a catch-22 because that's probably the last thing you want to do. You want to curl up in a ball. You want to lie in bed. You want to tell yourself the story that there are no good men out there. There are no good women out there. And I always get burned. And look, I will say this. Sometimes just wallowing in your feelings for a day or two, feeling the emotions, maybe throwing yourself a little pity party is warranted, right? I personally try my best not to, but if you want to just kind of like move through the motions of feeling what you're feeling for a couple days, go for it. But when you let that overtake you for an extended period of time, like past a week, a month, a year, which people do, you are really only doing a disservice to yourself. And abundance says, if there are people of this caliber out there that I've met, then that must mean there's more. And I'll tell you, I used to have this mindset where I thought, because I wasn't exposed partly to a lot of compatible high value men in particular, that there were not a lot out there. And funny enough, ever since getting into matchmaking, I have seen so many really great, successful, marriage-minded, attractive men. And because I'm in a fortunate position where I'm in matchmaking, I meet all these guys, I have such an abundant mindset that like, if one doesn't work out, there's another bus coming around the corner. It might be difficult for you to see that because maybe you are not exposed to that many men, but I assure you, there are several out there, just like there are several women out there, okay? And when you start to put this person on a pedestal and build them up in your mind of, I'm never going to meet anyone like them again, personally think you are falling into a state of lack. What makes this person so spectacular? I also think, and this is maybe kind of a negative point, but one of my things that I do is when I'm trying to take someone off a pedestal is I'll maybe focus on some flaws. I'll give you some examples. Like, I really liked this one guy I was dating about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. Really liked him. Didn't work out. And I fell into this camp of thinking, I'm not good enough. I'm never going to meet someone like him. He is so fit, so successful, so this, so that, so this, so that. And in order to take him off his pedestal, I had to tell myself, well, I was towering over him in heels. Well, and this is another guy. He did have four kids or five kids and doesn't want any more. Well, they didn't really have a lot of time outside of work to give me. And when you start to think through some of the quote unquote flaws, now I'm not saying that people who have those things are in any way flawed, but they weren't necessarily on my wish list. Let's say that, right? It started to help me maintain a little bit more power, at least in my own self-serving narrative, so that I didn't get so wrapped up in, I'm never going to find someone better. I was like, maybe I can find all that and someone who I can wear heels around. Maybe. Or maybe I can find all that and someone who, you know, actually opens the car door. Or maybe I can find all that and, you know, someone who wants to have kids. I'm just giving you examples of like my process. And again, everyone has a different process. So just think about things in that way when you are also building people up to something that maybe they're not. Secondly, understanding that rejection really is redirection. And even if you can't see where you're being redirected to, I implore you to trust the universe, trust that you are being guided. Whether you are atheist or religious or spiritual or something in between, it's not really about that. It's more a matter of just having faith that your inputs will lead you to your outputs. And inputs being working on yourself, maintaining being the best version of yourself, and really acting as if you already have everything that you want. I've talked about manifestation a lot on this podcast because I truly believe that you can architect your life. But part of architecting your life is controlling what you can control and releasing what you can't control. And what you can't control is how other people show up. If someone doesn't show up for you, if someone's not taking action to be in your life, that is such an incredible sign from the universe that they are not meant for you. You deserve someone who's going to show up in your life. And if someone doesn't, the attitude isn't, it's because I'm not good enough. The attitude isn't, I'm never going to meet someone like this again. The attitude is, thank you, universe. Because now I'm being guided one step closer to the person I'm actually meant to be with, who is going to show up for me and is going to see my worth and is not going to need any convincing. And I truly mean that you should not have to convince someone to be with you. And it's not because you're inadequate. It might be because timing. It might be because there are other life circumstances prohibiting that person. It also might be because there are parts of that person that maybe they weren't showing you because they knew that, you know, people a lot of times want to tell you what you want to hear. Hate to say it. And so you could have been fed a totally different image of someone versus who they actually are. Someone can tell you, oh yeah, I want kids, I want marriage, but maybe they don't want that for 10, 15 years. You know, and that's okay. Because that if that's what you want, then they're doing you a favor. The people who are meant to be in your life will find their way into your life. But, and this is the asterisk, this is the contingency, they're going to show up a lot faster for you when you start showing up a lot faster for you, when you start stepping into that energy that you are actually trying to attract. Positivity radiates and it is contagious and it will boomerang back to you. If you want people who are compatible to you, if you want people that you're impressed by, if you want people who have certain traits, start with you. And also understand that when people fall off, sometimes it's because you're radiating and glowing so much that they maybe are looking for less. Maybe they're looking for less. And again, that's a beautiful thing because you don't deserve less. You deserve everything that you bring to the table and more. So with that, stay with me because after the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about how to pour more into yourself. And the more you pour into yourself, the more you will get other people to pour into you. So all that and more after the break. Stay with me. thanks for staying with me through the break, guys. So while we were on break, I couldn't help but think about ghosting because I think it's kind of common in the early stages of dating. If you're not super serious with someone, for them to withdraw, and by withdraw, I mean ghost. And I think ghosting is incredibly disrespectful. Like, I think it's a lot more mature to just send someone a message and say, listen, I don't want to waste your time. I don't think we're a match. I don't see us together long term. And out of respect for you, I don't want to waste your time. Boom. You don't owe them anything else. It might hurt. No one likes to hear that. But I would say that is a more mature way to go about it. And so if someone's ghosting you, see that for the disrespect that it is. They don't care enough about you to even give you a response. And that's someone you want to be with? And it's easy to assume that it's because they must have more options. They must have better options. They're so consumed with their other options that they don't even think about you. When in reality, we don't even know that. And by the way, again, like I said earlier, those options might not be better than you. They just might be easier than you. They might be easier to manipulate. They might be easier to spring into bed with. They might be, easier to impress. There are a multitude of reasons. Hold yourself to a high standard and understand that if other people don't meet that standard, it's because they're not good enough for you, not because you're not good enough for them. Okay. Also, really fall in love with yourself. This is tough. I used to kind of cringe when I heard the word self-love because it was so overused. Everyone was like, self-love, self-love. And I was like, God, like at the time, I was like, I'm not in love with myself. That's conceited. That's narcissistic. And I guess to an extent, like there are people who are so self-absorbed, but there's a fundamental difference between being self-absorbed and really loving yourself, liking your own company, enjoying the journey that you're on, enjoying the person that you're creating. And I think loving yourself really comes down to seeing your value and knowing your value and not questioning your value. And even if other people question your value and don't want to be in your life, not looking at that as, oh, I must not be that valuable if this person doesn't see it. Well, no, there are plenty of things that are incredibly valuable that people reject every day. Think about Bugattis. How many people are walking into the Bugatti dealership? Not a lot. Is that because Bugattis aren't valuable? No, of course not. It's because most people can't afford Bugattis. Most people, even if they can't afford them, you know, a lot of people don't want a Bugatti because what if you scratch the car? Then it's expensive to maintain. Or, you know, what if someone steals the car? That's a problem. So think of yourself in the highest possible light. Same with other luxuries. Like, just because someone doesn't want to be with you doesn't mean that your value diminishes. Your value is not at the mercy of who wants you or not. Your value is what you place it at. It's what you make of it. And part of how you uphold that value is through repeatedly affirming to yourself that you are worthy and you are incredible and you are of value. And also leading a life that really reflects that, showing yourself love through things that are going to continue making you feel confident, whether that's waking up and working out or doing a hobby or having goals that you work toward achieving or building a business or, you know, working really hard at whatever your career is or school, whatever it might be that you are passionate about in life, leading a purpose-driven life, working on always being the best version of you. Obviously, there are going to be some days where maybe you slip up, I slip up, but showing up for yourself and understanding that anyone can switch up on you at a moment's notice. People have free will. They can change their mind. They can change their life. And your emotional state should be mostly dependent on how you feel about yourself. Nobody gets to make you feel any kind of way without your permission. And that's tough because sometimes people just set us off. Like I've been getting bombarded with a million texts during this podcast, and it's taking everything in me not to reach to my phone. And I know if I'm going to reach to my phone, I'm going to look at some texts. I'm probably not going to feel so great. I'm going to feel like, oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. Again, I'm choosing to stress myself out if I give those people power over me. You have to be in charge of your own emotions and take accountability for them and really be your own best friend. The most important relationship you will ever have in your life is the one you have with yourself. So nourish that relationship, pour into that relationship, make sure that you are doing things for you that are going to make you feel happy. No one is coming to save you. And even if someone does come to save you, you should have a backup plan. You should always be prepared to be self-sufficient if anything ever goes awry. So I think when you take on that autonomy, you strip people of their power to make you feel the highs and lows of dating, whether that means that you didn't get a second date or they, you know, weren't communicating with you the right way. I think it was Mel Robbins who invented the let them theory. Cool, let them. They don't want to ask you on a second date. Bye, let them. We don't need to overanalyze what's going on in people's lives. We don't need to go down the rabbit hole of trying to piece together the puzzle of, you know, what their next move is going to be and who they might be talking to. That is all a waste of energy. Life is precious. Do not expend time on people who aren't pouring into you. So that's where I want to leave off on today's podcast. I think this is a really, hopefully, uplifting episode. I even just like talking this way, love it because it kind of boosts me up a bit too. That's funny how that works. But you've got to show up for yourself first. And also recognize that when one person walks away, that is always to make room for the right person to walk in. So if this person that you were excited about in the early stages of dating doesn't want to move forward, the attitude is, thank you, universe, such a blessing. Now I can make more space for the right person and entertain the possibility that better exists. Better exists. Okay. Don't romanticize people too much, especially in the early stages, because you really don't know them that well. People are only going to show you what they want you to see, and they're going to tell you what they want you to hear. Promise you that. All right, guys, it's been such a fun episode. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please make sure if you're listening on Spotify or Apple that you rate and review it and follow us. And if you're listening or watching on YouTube, please subscribe. It helps a lot. And if there is a burning topic on your mind and you want me to address it on a future episode, easiest way for me to find out what that is send me a voice note, just like the one today that I addressed, over Instagram and just DM me that. And keep it short, if you don't mind, just because, you know, a minute or less, usually people have short attention spans. But send that over and you might be featured on a future episode. I am sending you love and abundance, and make sure you show yourself a little extra love today. All right, guys, I will talk to you next week. Bye.
Pioneer.